following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Boone Podcast.
If I get three pairs of shoes from a collective 14 gifts, I'm good.
On today's program, we flip the script on Booney.
With 141, his second home run in as many nights and his 37th of the year.
Today, we stick him under the lights and shove a mic in his face.
And I mean, we're flying through these tree-lined trails going 1,000 miles an hour.
He is CBS Sports Radio host and the executive producer of the Boone Podcast, Rich Herrera.
I want to know about you guys. What was like growing up around your dad while he was playing when you guys were younger?
Now, in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving and welcome everybody to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Rich Herrera from the Infinity Sports Network, along with Brett Boone, the author of this podcast. It's Turning Two with Booney. And it's our special Thanksgiving Day edition for those that might listen to the podcast. Is you're driving to and from wherever you're going for Thanksgiving. So, Booney, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Rich. We're going to have Mama Boone on today. She's getting her hair done. So I told her. Yeah. So I told her, and she didn't want to be. I said, Mom, you can just pop on. She said, they're going to see me. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
She said, no. I said, how about we'll do a Christmas version with the matriarch. So, but we do have a special guest today. I'll leave that to you, Rich.
Yes,
this is your bus that you're driving.
Yes.
Drive that son of a bitch.
Wow. That's some good Thanksgiving. That's some good Thanksgiving thoughts for you right there. All right. I got lots of stuff that we're going to get to. And then we have a special guest from Brett Boone's past coming on here in just a little bit, but let's get instant reaction. The Dodgers are going to continue to try to dominate baseball. If the Yankees at one time were referred to as the evil empire, I think they've had that title taken away around people in baseball. The Dodgers go out and add Blake Snell, according to sources, still waiting, but it's a reported five-year, $182 million deal. $52 million signing bonus is what the Dodgers are sending to Snell and his family. So they're going to have a pretty good Thanksgiving. Brett, react.
I would say that's pretty good. Blake Snell, interesting. Dodgers, the way they're going about business now, very interesting. They're being very progressive with their thinking. With Ohtani a year ago, deferring all that money out into the future enabled them to sign Yamamoto, the Japanese star. So they're definitely being creative, and they did it again with Snell. He gets the big bonus up front. He makes $1 million, $1 million, $1 million, and then it's backloaded in 2029. So they're finding a way to make this payroll work. To me, though, now if I'm a Dodger, if I'm Doc Roberts right now, I'm pretty happy. I'm not worried about 2035. I'm worried about what I have in the immediate future. And it's kind of, we got whoever we want. I look at this rotation, this potential rotation, Rich, and we haven't gotten to Kershaw yet. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best left-handed pitchers of all time, one of the best pitchers of all times. He's still sitting out there, and I don't see him finishing his career anywhere else than L.A. So he's like, right now, in my calculations, I'm looking at a Blake Snell, Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani returning to the mound next year, Miller, Gonsolin, who was great for them 2 years ago, May, who's been injury-riddled for the last 3 or 4 years, but real high potential guy. And then you get to Kershaw. It's almost like, almost unfair. If those guys I just mentioned, all healthy, with the offense that they have, with the, obviously the headliners are Ohtani, Betts, and Freddie Freeman, it's almost like an all-star team. And if you keep those guys healthy, it would be tough for me to see anyone in all of baseball competing with that lineup. I mean, you're getting number one after number one after number one, and they could go as deep, and I'm hearing they're going to go to a six-man rotation next year because of all the talent they're lining up. So it'll really be interesting. There's still not room for them all. You know, I mentioned Snell, Yamamoto, Ohtani, Glasnow, Miller, and you got Gonsolin, May, and Kershaw, who's the sixth, seventh, and eighth starter. So you have eight legitimate starters, if all healthy, all potential number one starters.
How many starters do you need to win the World Series?
Well, I think the Dodgers proved a year ago. I think they used six last year, ended up with two or three being healthy. Walker Buehler is in a free agent situation.
They had a situation where there were guys that got hurt. So
they were guys that got hurt.
Bad luck.
Right. But I think they went in with six or seven, and more than half of those guys got hurt or spent some significant time on the IL. And Ohtani from the get-go, we knew wasn't going to be a factor for the 2024, the entire season.
So let me drill down on this a little bit and get into Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations head. When we worked together in Tampa Bay, they said you need seven legitimate starting pitchers, Brett, to win the World Series because somebody's going to get hurt, right? You can't just have your five horses, and then if two of them get hurt, you're not going to be one of those elite teams. And Andrew learned that. In Tampa Bay, you can't have too much pitching, and that's going to be the adage for the Dodgers. So they go eight deep. That's great because now instead of having five horses or three horses or two horses, three guys, and then one of those guys gets hurt, you bring somebody up from the minor leagues who gets shelled. Now he's got enough depth that maybe he goes six, but you know more than likely that you're not going to answer the bell each and every time. So he has the starting five. They're not going to have openers anymore in Los Angeles. And I have enough pitching depth that I can withstand everything, Brett. For the Dodgers, they are just picking up where they left off, dominating, and they throw out this kind of money. It's great for the players. What's it do for the game?
Yeah, but you talk about five competent starters or five. No, but first of all, nobody has five horses.
No.
You see, when we're talking about horses, we're talking about an Ohtani, a Tyler Glasnow, a Snell. That's a horse.
Right.
Nobody has even a fourth horse or a fifth horse. Well, I'd argue right now that the Seattle Mariners legitimately have four horses. Okay. And that's the best pitching staff in all of baseball. If this Dodgers scenario plays out, I don't know that I've ever seen a more now, and this is all, got to stay healthy, got to hit your marks, got to play to your ability or what you're projected to do. I don't think I've seen a more talented. It never in the history of baseball, and I know Kershaw's getting to the end. He's 38, 39 years old.
So he's sliding back to a 4-5.
But he's Clayton Kershaw. You're not in this rotation. He's like the eighth man, Rich. Mm-hmm. There's never been a Clayton Kershaw that's the eighth man. It's like a Greg Maddux at the end of his career. He wasn't the Maddux of 1996 in 2004, but he was still Greg Maddux. Imagine on this depth chart, Greg Maddux would be the eighth starter at the end of his career. I've never seen that level of talent in the offseason. Now there's a long way to go. Opening days, you know, months and months away.
Right.
But I've never seen this level of talent down to the eight hole being Clayton Kershaw. Now, that being said, Clayton Kershaw hasn't been signed, so we don't know. We're just assuming.
The price of everything's gone up, right? The price of running a business has gone up.
It's like crypto.
The price of going to McDonald's. You wouldn't know, Brett, since you don't go to McDonald's. But for the rest of us, inflation is taking a bite of everything right now. This $182 million contract is the third largest for a left-handed pitcher in the history of the big leagues. The only contracts bigger than this one is David Price and Clayton Kershaw. I'm going to look you straight in the eye right now. Is Blake Snell in that same category as Price when he went to Boston and Kershaw 2014 when he went to the Dodgers? Because he's in that neighborhood now.
Blake Snell, I said, yeah, he's definitely, who's the first Price? Oh, he's
Price.
Definitely. Oh,
Price was 2-7. Well, remember, this is Price 2-15. This is Price in 2015, 2-17. Okay. Clayton Kershaw, 2014, got $215 million. Is Blake Snell worth that 100? I know what you're going to say. You're worth what you get paid for, but I guess I'm asking, does he belong in that rarefied air with Price in his prime and Clayton in his prime?
Well, I'd say Price in his prime compared to Snell in his prime. For me, there's no comparison. Snell's better.
Okay.
I wouldn't go a step to put him into Clayton Kershaw conversations. Clayton Kershaw is one of the best left-handed pitchers of all time. That being said, Blake Snell's had an interesting run. Tampa Bay, he was a Cy Young Award winner. He signed the big contract with the Padres. Didn't really live up to expectations except for his walk year. He ends up, for the last 4 months of the season, pitching at an unbelievable clip, like a one ERA, and won the Cy Young again. Last year, he goes to it was a funny offseason last year, especially with the Boris clients.
He got stuck in the middle of that.
He got stuck in the middle of it. He ends up going to San Francisco, doesn't have a spring training, starts off real rough, finishes as strong as you could possibly finish again. So that being said, Blake Snell, when he's right, when he's on top of his game, I think is as good as anybody in the big leagues right now, maybe with the exception of DeGrom. For me, DeGrom's kind of a little bit better than everybody else, but DeGrom's had his fair share of trouble staying healthy and staying on the field. But with Blake Snell right on top of his game, I think he's as good as anyone in Major League Baseball right now. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Is he going to go 4 years in between Cy Young performances like he did from Tampa Bay to San Diego?
Correct.
For me,
that's why he asked about David Price.
Right. For me, man, if you have the luxury that the Dodgers do in the wiggle room, as far as their finances go, why not? Why not roll the dice and say, if we get the Blake Snell of 2023 or the Blake Snell of 2018, why not? To most teams, making an investment of $189 million, that is a huge deal. For the Dodgers, not so much. They're kind of like, whatever, we got an extra Blake Snell, and if he's right, he'll probably win another Cy Young Award. So for the Dodgers, yes, I think it was worth the risk. For everybody else that's being fiscally kind of responsible, I don't know if Blake Snell would have been my first option with the guys I see on the table. I would probably like gone after a Burns, maybe a Freed from Atlanta, maybe.
But
a
are
Walker
they the
Bueller,
impact? Are they the impact? Bueller. Are they the impact of Blake Snell?
Burns, yes, I think he is, and okay. I think Burns is, when you use the term horse, I think Burns epitomizes what a horse is. He's answered the bell. He's been there. He's been on the IL very little. In his run here in the last 3-4 years, obviously starting with the Brewers, coming over to the Orioles a year ago, had a great year, was the horse in their rotation. For me, a safer bet as far as durability and knowing what I'm getting, Burns is the pick for me. But to have the luxury of just throwing Blake Snell into that rotation,
money at Blake Snell like that.
And if I get the Blake Snell that finished the season last year with San Francisco, that's a home run. So, I see the Dodgers rolling the dice and doing that. They didn't make the safe choice with Blake Snell, but they made the choice that if we catch lightning in a bottle, this guy could win two more Cy Youngs.
They're not rolling the dice. They have so much. Teams that roll the dice have to go all in, blood money on somebody. I'm going all in. I always say
Burns is, you're going to see a bigger number out of Burns.
Right, right. But here's what I'm saying. I always talk about this when I see teams that can do ands or ors. The ands are always good. The ors have to be lucky, meaning I've got all my money and I put it all in a Brett Boone, and if he works, I'm a hero. If he doesn't, I'm a bum. Or if I'm the Dodgers now, I put all my money in Brett Boone and then I put my money in Aaron Boone, and if one of the two of them work, I'm great. And if I add Bob Boone, I add Ray Boone into that, if one of the four hit, I'm a genius. No, you're not a genius. You just bought more opportunities than the guy who just went in on the one Brett Boone. It's like going to Taco Willie's joint in Phoenix when I'm going to Chase Field. I've got all kinds of options, right? I can get a burrito. I can get a quesadilla. I know I'm not taking a chance by going there because the food is phenomenal no matter what I get when I go into Taco Willie's joint. When's the last time you were there?
Taco Willie's? It's been a minute. Our guest today will let me know. It's been years.
It's been way too years. Long. In fact, yes. I stopped by the other day. I didn't even tell him. I just went and got a burrito.
Did you get a discount?
No, I paid full boat.
All right.
I pay full boat when I go to Taco Willie's joint in downtown Phoenix in between the Footprint Center and at Chase Field, because we're going to invite our special guest. And we got some more baseball talk coming up. But the little man's big brother.
No, little brother.
Big. Well, you explain this. They're your childhood friends, the Stoltzes. We've had little man on.
A few weeks ago, the little man made his appearance. He's claiming that he's a one and done. Now, Eric is also one of my good childhood buddies. Actually, the two of them are the only two from my childhood that I stay in contact with. So Mark, we had Mark on. Like I said, he claims he's a one and done. So we call him E, chimed in and says, why aren't I on the podcast?
So we said, let's put took a few E weeks. On the podcast.
Let's put E on the podcast. This man here knows me as well as anybody. He's seen me from probably, I'll let him tell you, we probably became buddies. And Eric, here, let me explain the family dynamic. Eric's mother is one of my favorite people in my life.
Right.
We call her the lady. It's Maria Stoltz. She's the matriarch of the Stoltz family. So she was the cool mom in the neighborhood. Okay. Everybody went to the Stoltz's house when we wanted to get away with something. And Maria, she just wanted to know the gossip, who we were dating. And this is all when we're like 11, 12 years old. Who are you dating, Brett? Who are you dating? Yeah, I don't like her, or I like her. Maria, she's still the same way. She's in her 80s now. Still, every time I see her, she goes, Boonie, don't I look good for my age? And I said, Maria, you always, to me, you'll look great till you're not here anymore. But she, like I said, she's one of my favorite people. Actually, not only mine, but in the Boone family. She's revered, if that's a good word for it. But Eric and Mark were my closest childhood friends. We probably met, I want to say, maybe third or fourth grade. And we kept contact till modern day. So bring Big E on.
He is joining us here.
He can explain if I'm right or wrong. And him and his brother are oil and water. Eric's the crazy one. Mark's the more measured. But at the same time, Mark, you don't get the little man nickname for no reason. So it's complicated, but it is hilarious. All right, and I'll shut up.
All right, thank you very much. E, joining us here, one of Brett's longest childhood friends, our guest on the Brett Boone podcast. E, welcome to the podcast. Did you bring us anything to eat?
No, I did not bring anything to eat. Didn't know you were down there the other day, Rich.
We rolled into town. I was driving by. I'm like, oh, I need to get a burrito. So I actually had my wife drop me off. I ran in, ordered my burrito, got it, jumped back in the car to drive back to Tucson.
All right. Are you going to be out there for the UCLA game coming up?
I think so. I think I'm going to come up for that, but I'll sneak in and go eat. So if anybody, I'll get the plug in for Taco Willie's joint. It's about a half a block away from Chase Field as you're walking towards the basketball arena. Best place to stop in pregame and postgame after you go to a Diamondbacks game. So here's what I'm bringing E in. We're going to talk about Brett. We're going to talk about this Pebble Beach trip. But E, I want to know, what's it like when Dodgers come to town, when the Dodgers come to town to Chase Field, and that crush of Dodger blue, now that they've won a World Series and they've signed everybody, how big is it when the Dodgers come to town on the road to a Diamondbacks game?
Oh, it's big. It's all blue. lost my voice again from the Eagle game the other day. But, yeah, it's all blue. But it's still a lot of green coming in, so that's all that matters to me. Our landlords are the D-backs and Suns. So none of the employees can wear anything except D-back stuff. So it's besides the employees wearing D-back stuff, it's pretty much all Dodger fans in there. It's pretty crazy.
It is nuts watching them take over stadium after stadium, whether it's, you know, they try to take over in San Diego, they come and take over in Phoenix, they try to do the same in San Francisco, Colorado. I mean, it is a phenomenon right now of what the Dodgers are able to do, E.
Oh, absolutely. I don't like them. This was the reason I was rooting for the Yankees for the World Series. Not a big Yankee fan, but since Aaron's there, I was rooting for them, you know. But Dodgers, I didn't want them to win, but they won. So got to deal with it.
There you go. All right. He's joining us here. We're going to talk about the golf trip coming up here in just a second. But I'm if you're watching on YouTube, that's where are you, E?
In my little bar at the house. Oh, man. That's some good stuff.
Like I thought Boonie's me room behind him with the silver sluggers and the gold glove and the cover of Sports Illustrated, but I'm kind of impressed with what I see in Eric's room, Brett.
I'll tell you, they're a unique breed, those Jersey-born Philly. And we've talked about this a lot. It is pretty awesome, and that's what I love about going back east, New York, Philly. the passion that these guys have for their sports teams is unbelievable. Eric obviously grew up in New Jersey. His brother Mark, same. But you'll see fans from that area. It's not that you're just an Eagle fan. You're a Philly fan. You're a Sixer fan. You're a Flyers fan. That's just the way you're brought up. And when I was a kid in Jersey, that's all it was about. Yeah, Dad was playing for the Phillies, but it was Eagles games and cheesesteaks on Sunday. It was whenever we get to the Spectrum, that old Spectrum, and see a Sixers game and watch Irving shoot his set shots and his bank shots from the corner. Andrew Toney.
And then
the Bobby Clarks of the hockey world for the Flyers. That's the way it was. And when you're a kid in South Jersey or you grow up in Philadelphia, that's what it is. You're a Philly fan through and through. And Eric and Mark and my brother Aaron continue that on. I'm not the Eagle fan like these guys are. I like the Eagles. I pay a little bit of a special attention, but I'm not crazy about it. These clowns are nuts. The Eagles are on. It's like everything stops. You got to watch the Eagles. And I just kind of laugh at them.
What jerseys do you have in that man cave that I see behind you?
I have N'Kobe Dean, Hargrave. I have Brett's, Greg Luzinski's, Brandon Graham.
Wait, you got a Brett Boone jersey up there?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. Can you turn the camera so I can see the Brett Boone jersey?
You got it?
Wow, Brett. Oh, that's rather impressive.
I got the alternative. Aaron one. This is the best one up here. That's the four generations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a Ray. That's
cool pretty shot. Cool. Yeah. Look at that. A Luzinski, a Boone.
That's not bad.
Man, you know what? Maybe instead of going to Taco Willie's joint, I'm going to go watch football with you.
No, well, Eric, you got to know too, Rich. Eric and Mark, we grew up right down the street from each other, and right across the lake, which was a walk through the woods, was Luzinski's house. So Eric and Mark kind of grew up with the Luzinskis as well.
Wow, that's impressive. All right, the reason why we're bringing Eric on the podcast is Brett Boone's annual golf trip to Pebble Beach is coming up after Thanksgiving. Yes. I think it's next week. We've heard of this golf trip on this podcast for the last 4 years, but I wanted Eric to come on. Now, Eric, you've been on this golf trip before, haven't you?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to go last year. It was unbelievable, and I'm going back this year.
Okay, so here's why you're coming on. Number one, you're coming on because Little Man let us down that he wouldn't come back on. Little Man, I love him to death, but
you had Mark. You didn't have Little Man.
I had Mark on. He was okay. Like, I'll go watch Arizona football games with him to watch his daughter Maddie, your niece, cheer. But other than that, I mean, I might as well have had his wife on the podcast. She might have done a better job than your brother. So you've got to restore the Stolt name.
Tammy would be good on the podcast.
Tammy would be tremendous on this podcast. We'll get her on one day. So I need a couple Brett Boone stories because see Brett Boone, the all-star, the superstar baseball player. I need a Brett Boone story from his youth before he became this chiseled rock star of a man.
I got a pretty good one. So when he first got there, he was all about soccer. So when he came in, we're like, you're not playing soccer. You got to play football. And then he convinced his dad, his parents to let him play. He played and he was all – wanted to kick. We didn't kick back then. But then when he carried the ball for the first time, he carried it like a loaf of bread. He had no idea. He wasn't that good. But then he hurt his wrist. He hurt his wrist, and after he hurt his wrist, he was pretty much – any other kid would have been done. But he had the Philly trainer fit him with this cast that he could play. It was like a soft cast, so he got out there. He got better towards the end, but at the beginning, it was pretty funny because he was so good at baseball. Seeing him play the football was pretty humorous in a sense. Now, Aaron was sweep right, sweep left, touchdowns every time.
Yeah.
Is this organized football? Is this backyard?
Oh, yeah, LYAA. And Eric,
so this is like Pop Warner and Little League football.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Eric gets me to play. Okay. So I believe back then it was the 70 pound, 90 pound, 110, and 130.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to remember, this was like 1979. So I forget, Eric, where we played together. It was the 110 or the 130s. And anyway, I broke my elbow pitching in Little League. So that was the injury he's talking about. So he's right. The Philly trainer at the time fits me in this special made cast, and I mean, it's huge, and it's foam all around it, so it had to meet all the specs, so the ref said, yeah, he can play. And Eric did leave out this: I've never played in a football tackle game. So the first game of the season, coach puts me in to return punts as my first play from scrimmage. So I get the punt, and I'm sitting there, and I'll never forget, there was a kid named Johnny Meyer was returning punts with me. And they're all kind of looking at me like, you don't even know what you're doing. And I'm like, well, they just put me out here. So anyway, if it's a punt that you're not going to, return, what do? You get away from the ball. Well, I go up, the punt's coming towards me. I believe that and Johnny Meyer, I'll never forget, said, get away from it. Get away from it. It's still in the air. No, so no, I don't get away from it. I dive like I'm making a shoestring catch. Bang! Bounces off my cast. Turnover. I come back to the sidelines, and Eric's waiting for me. I'll give a shout out to a couple of my buddies. I believe there's a kid named Mike Curcio on the team. Brad Pine.
Yep.
Johnny Meyer, and they were kind of the known, like, good little football players, and I was just the guy coming from soccer. I remember going to the sidelines, like, what just happened? And I got Eric, Pine, Curcio, and Johnny Meyer. Curcio was the nicest about it, but the rest of them were yelling at me going, you suck. What are you doing? You know you got to get away from the football. And I'm like, I've never been in a game before. That's how my football started off, because I had to play. I was getting too much crap from these guys playing soccer. But yeah, I ended up improving. Obviously, we went into the high school years, and football wasn't a big part of my future.
That is outstanding. So that's the first time I think we've ever heard a Brett Boone story, Brett, where you weren't cocksure knowing what you're doing and completely a fish out of water.
Oh,
yeah, he was a fish out of water. And it was like, you know, he was out of his comfort zone. So that was, it was like for us.
I wanted to go play soccer again.
Yeah, for us, it was great. I'd never touched a soccer ball. We're like, come on, man, you got to play football. And then he goes out there, and it's nice, he's very good at baseball. So when you got to get a chance to take him down, you got to take him down, Rich, you know?
Tell
you what, Rich, and this is the South Jersey thing. These kids were relentless. They're like my guys I run with, I hang out with. But on the field, I mean, they're just wearing me out. Like I ruined their entire season. And I'm kind of going, wow, this is kind of tough love. I'm like 10 years old, and these guys are wearing me out. They begged me to come over from soccer. I'm doing it.
Right.
And now it's like, they weren't nice about it, you know? They weren't like, hey, man, you'll get the hang of it. They're like, you suck and get better.
That is outstanding. All right. When the little man, I'll still call him little man because I love him, the little man comes on the podcast, he told a story about Brett causing mayhem in the neighborhood and Eric E. had to wear it. Do you remember the story I'm talking about, Brett?
The slingshot. Oh, slingshot.
Slingshot. Yeah. Mr. Hirsch. Oh, well, we're not supposed to say names. All right.
No, you say it. we live out west. They're not going to come get us out here. So I want to hear the story of Brett getting you in trouble for a slingshot.
Yeah. So when we got back to the house, it was me and Brett, my brother, and my sister was home. My mom wasn't home at the time.
No, you guys were out running around breaking windows, right?
Yeah, well, we were taking shots at them. Absolutely. You know, we got a new wrist rocket. You got to do something with it, see if it works.
Now, so, whose idea was it to give you hooligans a slingshot?
That was from Dave Pitchko. He went down to South Carolina and got him, so he passed him out. You know, and I had to have one. So Boone had, of course, he's a good shot, so he you know, took it, but I got the blame. Go back to the house, and the cops come without my mom, and they took me in the car without my mom being there. My sister's like, he's not, he can't go. He's a child, a minor. They took me when my mom got down the station with these guys. All she cared about was that they took me, not that anyone did anything wrong. It was pretty funny. You can't take my son down there. And yeah, it was interesting. Yeah,
Brett, do you ever apologize? He's the one who's getting carted away in a police car, and you're the one who's running home.
No, I think it was like that kick return. Like once it happened, I just was like, let me get the hell out of here. I had to go home. I got on my moped, drove home like nothing happened. And Eric, I remember Eric going away in the cop car, and I'm just like, oh, well, he must have done it. It wasn't
me. Mr. Ernster's like, oh, it's definitely him. Definitely through the trees, everything. It's
Yeah. They named Eric. They named Eric, and it was definitely him. Back then, it was kind of like, you know, Dad was playing for the Phillies. So Dad and Luzinski were the big wigs in the neighborhood.
Right.
So nobody would really nobody would blame me when it was my fault. And by the way, Eric was the true hooligan of the group. I was me and Mark were kind of the background players. Eric's the type of guy that we would go and we'd peg cars with snowballs. Eric would get right up on the street and hit you right in the face, where me and Mark, and I mentioned this earlier, we'd be lobbing in from behind the tree. So we were kind of the wussies when it came to stuff like that. But I did shoot that window out, but it made perfect sense that everybody thought it was Eric because that was his MO.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, they might have had a good guess on it, but let's go back to the snowballs. You got to know your game, and I didn't have a good arm like you, a little man, so I had to get closer. That's pretty much it.
Was there a story about you guys throwing snowballs at a handyman?
Oh, no, that was golf balls.
All right, I want to hear that story then, from Eric's perspective.
Let's hear one good one, bro. Let's hear that one about the lakes going up on fire.
Yeah, I was gone. But here's the thing. We caught our lakes on fire because sometimes they would drain and it was just that muck, right? So here's the thing. That was Mark Stoltz. That was the little man, I believe, that lit the lakes on fire. Now, Eric, what you guys fail to remember is that was the year Dad got traded to the Angels. So that was the summer I was in California with him for the Angels when the lakes caught on fire. So
wait, what do you mean the lakes caught on fire?
Well, we had three lakes. We lived in a place called Medford, and we lived in a community called Cardinal Ridge. And we had three lakes behind us. There was the fishing lake, the boating lake, and some other lake.
Canoeing.
That's what we did.
Canoeing lake.
All right, okay. So we named them that. But sometimes they would drain, and mischievous as my friends were, they would do stuff. Well, Mark, the little man, non-assuming, like I said, not the crazy one Eric was, but Mark was the background player just like me. He lit the lakes on fire, the muck.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So the middle of the woods in Medford, in Cardinal Ridge, were on fire in the middle of the summer. I wasn't there for that, so I'm not a part of that. But we've got so many stories that went on in Cardinal Ridge, from people stealing bikes to Mark riding his moped into a car to there was a gentleman by the name of
dirt bikes.
There was a guy by the name of Bob Gadian that.
Oh boy.
That moved about the community. He lived in my basement for about 3 months. I'll tell you what, since we don't have 2 hours, Eric can tell you the Bob Gadian story. I had a guy, he wasn't homeless. He lived in the community. He was older. He endeared himself to the kids of the neighborhood. This guy was like 30 years old, and he'd be hanging out with us 13, 14-year-olds. And he ended up living in my basement for about 2 months that we didn't know about. So he's living in Bob Boone's basement.
So like some guy squatting in the basement, you don't know?
Yes.
Yeah. So we used to go down when we were going ice skating and all that, playing hockey down there. He would go down and just jean cut off shorts, no shirt, nothing else. And he'd go out there. And first off, we were having a little fun. We threw a couple snowballs at him for a little bit. And then afterwards, I think when we were leaving, he talked about Brett's basement, like, oh, that's really nice. Or it's something that's good TV and something else. And we're like, what's going on? And they thought they saw or heard stuff down the basement, and two together, and Mr. Gadian was down there. Yeah.
He was like the creepy adult in the neighborhood that hangs out with the kids.
I think he went to Harvard or something like that, and then had a little breakdown. Yeah.
How did you find out he was living in your basement?
Well, I had a few instances in my house. When I got to a certain age, my dad had an office on the third floor of our house.
Right.
And then when I got to a certain age, I got to have the office as my room. So I was at the top. Well, a couple occasions, there were guys that lived in my attic. And I think it was Bob. and he would pop out of the attic door when I was sleeping and run down the steps. One night, my dad was chasing him with a shotgun. He ran out the back door. But other times, he would live in our basement.
So wait a minute.
And we didn't even know it. We didn't even know it.
This is better than Blake Snell. The Boones had a squatter that lived in the basement and in the attic?
Well, and the problem was, is, you know, Mom didn't want to alarm me or make me nervous that she had seen this guy in my house, because he would come out of, in my room, there was an attic off my room where it was unfinished. So there was just a bunch of 2x4s, but you could stay in there. I mean, it was a big enough space. It was a big enough space to fit a car in, but we didn't use it for anything. It was unfinished. But a couple times in the middle of the night, my mom told me as I got older, there was a guy that would come out and down the steps. And like I said, one night I got woken up because Dad's out in the backyard with a shotgun chasing some guy that ran out of my room, downstairs, out the back door. Same dude, Bob Gadium, redhead, I'll never forget him, was squatting in my basements for months at a time because the basement was very
interesting. Did he live in the neighborhood? Did he live?
Oh, yeah, he lived. We used to hang out at his house and talk. He was the creepy old guy in the house that hung out with the kids.
Why was he not at his house? Why was he squatting in yours?
We had a big screen TV, and back then in the 70s, you didn't have big screen TVs, but we had, Bob Boone had one.
This sounds like an episode of Ghosts. Like,
it's not as much Sandlot, right?
Yeah.
The Sandlot turned to a little horror movie.
We had an interesting childhood. Now, I was never harmed. Nobody was ever harmed in my family, but we just had some dude that, like I said, Mom kind of kept me shielded from it. She didn't want to scare me.
Right.
But, yeah. That's
Sue's
all true.
Got to come on this. I've got to hear more about this story.
That's all true.
When I see Sue at the games and stuff, she'll be like, "Well, you were always in trouble, you know." Like, I'm like, "It wasn't me all the time. I just took the rap for everything."
All right, are you gonna get your voice?
Eric back? still takes the rap.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, that's why I wanted to get into the whole Pebble Beach trip, because Eric, you don't have much of a voice left. Because where'd you go to the game last week?
Went to the Eagles Rams game in L.A. Took my son and went over there. It was a blast. My college roommate's son got drafted by the Eagles this year, Will Shipley. So we got to meet him and a bunch of other guys. My son was in heaven.
Did you behave yourself, or did you get your Philly on?
Oh, I behaved myself, but there was a lot of Philly on.
Brett, they booed Santa Claus.
Well, who's going to play better at this Pebble Beach trip this year, Eric?
Before we get to that, Brett, I want Eric to describe this Pebble Beach fiasco that you go on every year.
I went last year. It was unbelievable. Seriously, the whole thing is just first class. Everything's so nice. I mean, you're at Pebble Beach to begin with, but, you know, it's just, you know, you got beers. When you're done, everything's there for you. It's a real good time. Now, for me, going out there, you know, I'm first time, and I don't know any of these guys. I knew Matthew, but didn't really know him, because I haven't seen him in so long. So that was my partner last year, his business partner in Go. So I ended up lucky enough.
So we're talking about Maddie Boone.
Yes.
Maddie Boone.
Okay, Maddie Boone. So you and Maddie Boone playing. It's Brett and Little Man.
Yep. And then we were paired up with these other two guys. Interesting. And so my brother told me, I said, "Listen, man, I know it's your trip. I won't step on anything. I'll keep out of the way." It's like, "Hey, if you have nothing nice to say, just leave the room." So I went on a lot of walks, put it that way. But it was a very good trip. Me and Matthew got along good. And I played like shit. But besides that, ready to go this year.
Because I just heard the Little Man, you know, Brett's like, "Hey, listen, these are my big league friends. These are pro athletes. You guys behave yourself." Little Man's like, "Oh, no, I promise I'll behave myself." After 12 hours, he's standing on top of the cart screaming at people, "You suck."
Oh, yeah.
First of all, Rich, I would never say that. I could care less how you behave. Now, I might say that in jest.
Don't embarrass me. You wouldn't say, what would you tell me?
I don't really care. You can't embarrass me.
Oh, and I could embarrass you.
No, it's their trip. They do what they want. I might say it in kidding once. Well, hey, you be on your best behavior when you go here. But really, it's about going there. And nobody's that out of control. The biggest problem is years ago, I was the pain in the ass. I was the one that was causing havoc. Those days have passed. But no, it's a great trip. Guys have a good time. And hopefully we win. you know.
Yeah, because I was a little embarrassed.
I've never won. 94 is my first year doing it. I've never won. Last year we came in third place in the net category. Year before, we came in second. I've come in second one other time, but since 1994, I have been there pretty much 95% of the time. I have never won.
Eric, what's it like
to own the crystal?
Eric, does he walk in thinking, yeah, I'm going to win, this is my year, and then you see him each and every day, his expectations start to fall?
Well, he always thinks he's shooting par anyway. I mean, he's, you know, when he hits it good, he's very impressive. When he's not, it's kind of all over. But last year, when we played at Pebble, he had two eagles and two really good eagles. Little Man played well. I didn't play well, but I had a good time. You know, if I'm golfing, I'm out there for 4 or 5 hours. There's a lot of adult beverages and a lot of fun going on in my cart.
I kind of like it, Brett. I need one more story from you. Because, by the way, I think Eric's going to make the cut to be able to come back on the Boone podcast many, many times.
Well, you're going to have to. You're the one that's going to want to hook up with Mark and go to the Arizona game. How much are you going to say Eric is better than him?
Well, actually, he listens, but more people tell him when we talk about him on the podcast than him actually hearing it firsthand. Who's that?
That's true.
That's true. Finley. That's my
Finley.
Little one.
Finley, come say hello.
56 with a 9 and 5 year old.
Finley, say hi. Say hi to Mr. Boone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Finley. How you doing?
Finley's crazy. She's like me. I'm in trouble.
There you go. All right. Well, E.
Yep.
We appreciate you coming on the podcast. Thank you so much. Next time you're in Phoenix, downtown, Taco Willie's joint. It is outstanding. I could tell you because I've eaten there more times than I care to admit.
Well, thank you guys very much, Mr. Boone. I will see you next week.
See you next week, buddy. All right, man.
All right. Thanks. All right. Take care. Eric, joining us, one of Brett's childhood friends. That was pretty fun. I never knew about you guys had a crazy squatter living in your house.
Yeah, and the thing is, it was Eric's the one that kind of blew the whistle on it. Because Mom, like I said, Mom was tight to the vest. She didn't want to alarm anybody in the house, but Eric kind of knew behind the scenes. He would hit me up like, you know, at football practice, you know, Gadian's been living in your basement. I said, get out of here.
I have nightmares.
Yeah. No, it was Big Bob. Big Bob. He was fine. I think he passed away not too long after. I don't know what happened.
Crazy story. That stuff doesn't go on. That doesn't go on anymore.
No,
not in 2024. All right. Before we get out of here, we hope you gave you a couple good stories. Different podcast today because we wanted to do this if you're driving somewhere, help you spend the time as you're on the road during Thanksgiving weekend. Brett, what are you thankful for?
Man, I'm thankful for a lot of stuff. You know, the fact that, I don't know, I get to spend, you know, this is going to be something different than I've had in the past. I think since I've had kids, I've never spent a Thanksgiving without my kids. This is going to be the first year. Savannah, my daughter, her and her husband are going to spend Thanksgiving with their family, which is, I completely understand because they're going to be with me for Christmas. So for the first time, Savannah Boone's not going to be with me. Jake Boone's back with my brother in Connecticut. They'll be spending Thanksgiving together because he's working a job in Manhattan. So I won't have Jake Boone for the first time. My twins, they're going to be with their mother for Thanksgiving, which is completely appropriate, being the fact, once again, I'm taking them all for Christmas. And then my stepdaughters are going to be with their grandparents. So it's an adult Christmas. It's myself, my wife, my mom, my dad, and Uncle Matthew's going to be there. His wife is in Montana with her mom, helping her out with some projects. So she's not going to be there with Thanksgiving. She took Matthew's kids with him as well. So it's just the five of us. For a minute, it was kind of weird. But it'll be a lot less to clean up, a lot less to cook for my mom. We always spend Thanksgiving with my mom. But you know what? It as much as I'm going to miss having my kids there, it makes me remember how thankful, how blessed I am to be here healthy and have a bunch of healthy kids and get to spend it with my mom and dad. Because, you know, as you get a little bit older, as we all do, I start to really kind of cherish these times with my parents. You're not going to have your parents forever, not to be be gruesome about it, but it's just a fact of life. And the fact that I just get to go spend another Thanksgiving with mom and dad and all the blessings they've given me, you know, raising me. And I don't know. I just, it's a time of year where I couldn't ask for any more. I got everything. I got a healthy family. I got a family that I love and loves me, I think, most of the time. But it's just, it's a good day tomorrow to kind of put life into perspective a little bit. We all get busy and we all have our daily challenges, but it's just a time of reflection. And man, I'm a blessed dude.
And of course, we're all thankful for you listening to this podcast and making all of this possible. So for Mike, our producer, for Brett Boone, I'm Rich Rivera. Thank you so much. Have a safe Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And we appreciate you joining us here on the Boone Podcast.